Good morning. You're all welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. We always use the acronym, and I've always wondered how you would say the acronym. Look, something like that. I know that you're all on the second day of December enjoying the Wisconsin Riviera. I'm Blake McNulty, the board rep this morning. There's a variety of announcements about church life and activities. Please read the announcements, which are printed in the order of service. Be sure to take it home. It will be on the test. In addition, there are a few other announcements. Today is the last day to take a tag off a bag, a blanket, and a bear tree. All items should be brought back next Sunday, when they'll be taken to the Children's Hospital for Children in the foster care system. Next Sunday, the children will be helping with the Bag Blanket Bear project and also decorating a gingerbread tree. If you would like, bring a bag of candy to help decorate that tree. We'll be doing a little rehearsal today for the multicultural holiday pageant that we're doing next Sunday. If your child would like to participate in that service, please join us here in the sanctuary after the service. Now, who do they see? Okay, Kristen. And finally, pick up your nuts. If you ordered fruits and nuts, pick them up in the hall. Your name will be on them. So pick them up after the service in the hall. I invite you to greet those about you. Good one. Rick Claude loves your hair. I wasn't here at the service when you first appeared. So it was the bet, huh?
No.
Not really?
Just time to do it.
Yeah. We're especially happy to have visitors at this church. If you are a visitor, please sign the guest ledger on the visitor's table in the foyer. There's a variety of information available on that table about our church and Unitarian Universalism. Help yourself to any of that literature that might interest you. I'll be in the social hall after the service if you have any questions about our church. If you've been visiting for a while and would like to get information about becoming a member, I'd be happy to talk with you about that as well. If you're visiting us today with children, it's our custom for the children to remain with us in the service, in the sanctuary, until after the story for all ages, at which time they go to religious education classes. Your child is welcome to join them in the RE classes or to remain in the service. If you'd like to observe your child's class, please feel free to do so. The nursery is just out the door to my right and across the entryway. If there's a need for child care during the service, classes will end at 11:15, at which time you may pick up your children. Please do. From their classes. It's a delight to meet visitors. So if anybody's brought along some friends as visitors, please introduce them now if you would like. If we have visitors who brought themselves, please introduce yourself. Just stand up and state your name. Okay. Pat Howell, welcome. 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 Well, keep coming back. It's delightful to see all these visitors. So, come join us in the social hall. Be sure to sign, the ledger. We would be happy to get to know you. Everybody is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation. The conversation corner is a good place to gather for further discussion of the service. Please put your cell phones on silence mode during the service. I know that you'll find today's service interesting. Our speaker today is Rusty Borken, who has visited the church before. Rusty is an organizer for Common Ground, an organization that our church belongs to, Common Ground. Rusty has a diverse, if not checkered, career. He has done a variety of things. He has run a family tool distribution business. He's been involved in the trade union movement. He has worked for the city of Milwaukee. He is not under indictment at the current time. He has worked for ESPN, which I found particularly interesting. He's worked for an ad or marketing agency, an architectural firm, and has his own consulting business. He's been with Common Ground since last April. Rusty is married and has two grown daughters who live in New York and Ann Arbor. So welcome, Randy, we look forward to hearing your presentation, and take it.
Good morning. I'd like to do this song as a sing-along, so would be nice is I will sing the verses, and if you'd all join me on the choruses. The words are written in the order of service, so I'll give you a second to find those. I'll sing the chorus through one time by myself, and right away we'll try it together. If not us, not them, if not now, when? If not here nor there, if not this world, then where? Can you try that? If not us, not them, if not now, then when? If not here nor there, if not this world, then where? Why not me? Why not you? Why later? Why not soon? Why not here? Why not now? Why not this world right now? If not us, not them. If not now, then when? If not here nor there. Why not teach? Why fear? Why not reach? Why not hope? Why not live? Why not help? Why not give? Can you travel by yourselves here? This is the hard part. If not us, not them. If not now, and when. If not here or there. If not this world, then where?
Very nice.
May we listen, may we stay, may we breathe, may we pray, may we open, may we share, may we dream, may we care. If not us, not them, if not now, then when? If not here, nor there, if not this world, then where? If not this world, then where? Why later? Why not soon? Why not me? Why not you?
Thank you, Greg. And I think we've got a great chance at as being a backing band as an alternate world. Our opening words today, our cellist lighting words, are this: charity seems like a simple thing, crossing religious and political boundaries, and existing as a practice across all cultures. At its very simplest, we could say, we take care of each other. It's a human principle based on generosity, compassion, on empathy. And today we're going to explore charity. And so today we're going to light the chalice to remind ourselves of the many things given to us, the charity we have received, as well as those things we have given to others. And I point you to the order of service, if we can sing our response. Yes. We haven't done this for a while. We did this very regularly for a long time. Please rise as you're willing and able to join in our opening hymn, number 346.
Thank you. invite the children and those of all ages who want to come forward for the story for all ages to come up front here and come in close. I'll bring our lantern. Oh, come on, you guys can come closer. I'm not that frightening. Oh, wait, I'm not wearing a name tag. I'm a total stranger. I'm Paul. Good morning. You are really unafraid. Today, I don't actually have a story. We're going to do, as we've done in the past, I think some of you already have some credits toward linguistics that I was teaching earlier. And today we're going to do a little thing called linguistic deconstruction, which is always fun because deconstruction means you get to tear something apart. Knocking things over, taking things apart can be a lot of fun. And today, the phrase we're going to take apart, because really linguistics is just talking about words, is this phrase that you may have heard. So can somebody read that? Go ahead. So, give a man a fish and he will eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he will eat for a lifetime. Have any of you heard that before?
No.
Okay, so it's the first time you've heard it. What do you think that means? Somebody said that to you. What do you think it means? Very well said. So if you help somebody, so if you just give them what they immediately need, you've only helped them that one time, but if you help them figure out how to take care of that need so they can help themselves in the future, so if you teach them to do something, they're going to be able to take care of themselves for a long time. So it sounds like a pretty good thing. It sounds like a good statement. So the question is, do you think that's true? Is that a true statement? Is it always true? You don't think so? Do any of you think it is always true? Does it sound like it'd be always true, sometimes true? Okay, let's think about this. Let's take some scenarios then, and where we can figure out if this makes sense. So, first of all, this is about fish and fishing. So, what happens if we substitute a different word than fish? Let's say if you give a man a piece of bread, what happens then? So, if you give a man a piece of bread, he will eat for a day. If you teach him how to bake, he will eat all the time. Does that sound as good as fishing? Why not? It's harder. Yeah. And what sort of things are you missing if you say, I'm going to teach you how to bake? What are you missing? You'll need the ingredients, all the things that you need to bake with. You need flour, probably need an oven, probably need a dough. Dough would be very good to have if you're going to bake. So baking sounds a little harder than fishing. So fishing, people might have chosen this phrase because fishing is something that's easy to teach, and it doesn't seem to take a whole lot of equipment. At least it seems like it would be fairly simple to do. Okay, let's try another scenario. You're at school and it's lunchtime, or if you haven't gone to school, it's just lunchtime, and you're very hungry, and it turns out you forgot your lunch. You don't have it with you. So your teacher comes over to you. Your teacher's very helpful, and your teacher is a teacher, so your teacher describes to you how to make a sandwich. So you take two slices of bread, and you put them together, and ta-da, you have a sandwich. Now, are you still hungry?
Yes.
Why are you still hungry? I just told you how to make a sandwich. She didn't actually make you a sandwich. She just taught you how to make a sandwich. So sometimes the teaching by itself isn't quite going to do it. Now, if the teacher gave you bread and instructions on how to make the sandwich, that'd be a little more useful. So you'd get both the sandwich and the teaching. Okay, suppose you're at school again, and you unpack your lunch, and you find you have two sandwiches and a piece of cake. So this must be a really good day. And it turns out your best friend at school doesn't have a sandwich because she or he forgot her lunch. So what do? You've got two sandwiches, piece of cake. What are you going to do? Your friend's sitting there looking kind of hungry. What would you do? You would share a sandwich. Okay, what about that piece of cake? It's kind of a small piece of cake. You would cut it in half. That is very generous. Okay, suppose the other person that's sitting there hungry is not your best friend. And suppose one of the sandwiches happens to be something that somebody else should have had. It's a turnip and onion sandwich. You would offer them that sandwich or your nice peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Ah, see, so the turnip and onion one would be a little easier to give away than the peanut butter and jelly one. Yeah, I thought that might be true. So what happens if you have only one sandwich and everybody in your class forgot their lunches that day? You'd cut it up into parts for everybody, you'd share it with everybody. That's again very generous. Go ahead.
I just have to be able to watch them fight over it.
I don't know that would be a good thing to do.
And then I pick it up and divide it just because it's fun to see them fight over.
You don't want to cause a fight over food. Go ahead. That is an American ideal, to sell to people in need. That's a very capitalist idea. Okay. Okay, I see you guys have ideas on how to make sales, and actually there is a person on the internet who took this phrase and said, if you give a man a fish, he eats for one day. If you teach him how to fish, you get to sell him a fishing rod. So that is a response to this. So I got one last thing. I thought, you know, what happens if you guys are hungry during the story for all ages? Because sometimes I go on and it gets long. And so I brought this to give to you. Who wants some of this delicious fish? You guys would actually like fish? Are any of you vegans or vegetarians? Ah. Well, think, are there some people who wouldn't want a fish if you gave it to them or tried to give it to them? There are some people who are like, no, I'm not interested in fish. Either they could be vegan, vegetarian, it could be if you're trying to give away pork, or gluten to somebody who's living a gluten-free life.
Hey, wait a second, I don't have a can opener.
That's going to make it difficult, too. So here's a summary of the things that we've just gone over. So some things seem simple to teach, like fishing, and so it would be the easiest thing to teach somebody, but baking can be complex, or maybe trying to teach somebody to cure things, becoming a doctor, could be very complex to teach somebody. Sometimes people are in immediate need, so if you're sitting there without a lunch, you need a sandwich. You don't just need to hear how to make a sandwich. So sometimes there's times when you actually need something immediately. And taught skills aren't always enough by themselves. As you pointed out, you need a can opener. And so there's other things you need. If you needed to fish, you would need a fishing pole, a line, hooks, perhaps a river or a stream with fish in it. And other things like that. So there's a lot more involved. We notice that we tend to give things we have excess of. When we have two sandwiches, we're more happy to give one away than when we only have one. And we're more happy to give away things we don't like that much rather than those things that we really like. And we also need to recognize that we don't always have what a person needs or wants. So if I had a fish and you were vegetarian or vegan, you might say, no, thank you. That's not going to help me. Yes? Right, if I just handed you a dead fish? Yeah, he's like, no, I'll pass on that right now. So why are we talking about this? Because today we're going to talk about charity. Go ahead.
This is dolphin charity.
No, it means no dolphins were killed while they were catching the tuna. That's what makes it dolphin safe. Although it would probably also be safe to feed to the dolphins if they would like tuna.
That is dolphin food. I thought you gave me dolphin food.
No.
I mean, seriously.
Okay. Today we're talking about charity. And why do we give? What do we give? And why do we give it? Those are all things that are important to think about. And so we can give fish to people, or we can teach them how to fish. We can do both of those things. You guys have recently collected for some charities. Do you remember which ones you worked with? UNICEF? What's the other one with the boxes that you handed out? No, that's true. UNICEF was boxes as well. UUSC's guest at the table. There you go. And you also collect regularly for the food pantry. So when you pick a charity to give to, some of the things to think about are, am I giving people what they need? Is this a really good charity to give to? And are there other things I should also do? So perhaps teaching people something beyond just giving them a fish. So that's it for our exploration today. I brought a fish as well.
Was that the fish that used to be alive?
That would have been. That was a tuna. That's a bluefin tuna. Very small one. So who's our lantern bearer today? There you go. And thank you all for coming. If you want, you can donate it to Food Pantry.
I'll donate.
Okay. Is that your tag? Is that your tag?
Today, in place of our joys and concerns, I'm going to light four candles. The first candle is for our community, LCUUC, for us and for the gifts it needs to survive. The second candle is for the wider local community we live and work in, the charity and justice we seek to bring to Heartland, Merton, Delafield, Oconomowoc, Germantown, Pewaukee, Hubertus, Franklin, Wales, Watertown, New Berlin, Sussex, Dousman, North Prairie, Madison, all of Waukesha County, Milwaukee, and beyond that. The third candle will be for the world community, those in Haiti, Guatemala, in New Orleans, in the Appalachians, for the charity and justice we seek to bring to the whole world. And the fourth candle is for the flame that burns in each of us, our desire to be an active part of the world we live in, to struggle to make a difference. In addition, I have four quotes today about charity. Charity is a very broad subject, and it has very many good points, and it has its issues as well, as we will discover probably as we delve further into it. These are four people from four different times and four different parts of the world, and each of them makes a statement about charity that contains an implicit or explicit criticism of charity. So these quotes may sting a bit. And yet, each of these is from people who said or wrote them and believe strongly in the need for doing something. So I'm going to read the quotes without any real comment on them. I'm just going to tell you who said them or where they come from. The first is from St. Vincent de Paul, who's French, Catholic. He was born in 1581 and died in 1660 and was canonized in 1737. He wrote, "You will find out that charity is a heavy burden to carry, heavier than the kettle of soup and the full basket. But you will keep your gentleness and your smile. It is not enough to give soup and bread. This the rich can do. You are the servant of the poor, always smiling and good-humored. They are your masters, terribly sensitive and exacting masters, you will see. And the uglier and dirtier they will be, the more unjust and insulting, the more love you must give them. It is only for your love alone that the poor will forgive you the bread you give them." The second quote is from Helder Camara, a Brazilian, also Catholic and an archbishop. He was born in 1909 and died in 1989, and he was known for writing an article called The Spiral of Violence, which talked about structural injustice and its links to rebellion and repression. And he is well known, apparently, for saying, "When I give to the poor, they call me a saint. When I ask why the poor have no food, they call me a communist." The third quote is from Muhammad Yunus, Bangladeshi, born in 1940. He's still alive. He's a banker, an economist, and a writer. He was a Nobel Peace Prize recipient. This is from Banker to the Poor, Microlending and the Battle Against World Poverty. "When we want to help the poor, we usually offer them charity. Most often, we use charity to avoid recognizing the problem and finding the solution for it. Charity becomes a way to shrug off our responsibility. But charity is no solution to poverty. Charity only perpetuates poverty by taking the initiative away from the poor. Charity allows us to go ahead with our lives without worrying about the lives of the poor. Charity appeases our consciences. And the fourth quote is from Chinua Achebe, a Nigerian born in 1930, who's also still alive. He's a novelist, a poet, a professor, and critic. And this is from Ant Hills of the Savannah. While we do our good works, let us not forget that the real solution lies in a world in which charity will have become unnecessary. Well, let's take a moment of silence. Please remain seated for our centering hymn, number 1008.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Thanks for the opportunity to be with you this morning. As you know, my name is Rusty Borkin, and I'm with Common Ground. And today we're going to talk about the good work. You know what? I'm gonna center myself here because I'm going to miss you guys over here. We're going to talk about the good work that a lot of churches and organizations do and some of the things that they don't do and the relationship between those. I have some points to make and some stories to tell, and I also want to get some feedback from you folks. So today's going to be interactive a little bit, so no snoozing. For those of you that don't know about Common Ground, I just want to spend a little time talking about that, and then tell you a little story about myself. So Common Ground is a broad-based, nonpartisan organization working on key social issues in the region. And it's made up of about 46 organizations, primarily faith-based, but there are some that are nonprofit organizations, some schools, some small businesses. We've been around since 2008, formally. Lake Country joined last summer, which we're all grateful for. And Common Ground is an affiliate of the Industrial Areas Foundation, the country's oldest community organizing group, alliance that started in the 1940s in Chicago. So how did I get involved with this? When Blake was reading that list of things I've done, it's kind of frightening. So next slide. Who knows what that is? Matzah. So I'm Jewish, and Tammy, you don't know what matzah is?
No, I said
manna. Oh, manna. Manna. I think that's the correct word, too, the biblical word. So so I grew up Jewish, and Jews, as many of you know, celebrate the holiday of Passover every year. And one of the things we do is eat matzah, because matzah is a symbol of freedom. They call it the bread of affliction, but I call it the bread of freedom, because the Hebrews, in their exodus from Egypt, and you guys know the story, didn't have time for the bread to rise, so they used so they took the dough, and the dough didn't rise. So we eat that, and it's not all that good, but it's got an important meaning to it. So anyways, as a kid, every year we hear the story. And, you know, how many of you have been to a Seder? Passover Seder. So many of you know that. So it's the story is told every year. And as a kid, I was, you know, like most children are, pretty impressionable. But at the same time that was going on, next slide. So I'm growing up in the 60s. And this is in the midst of the Civil Rights Movement. And we're watching our black and white TV at home while we're eating our dinner, which is what we did then. It was okay to do. And I see some heads nodding. And so what am I seeing on TV? I'm seeing blacks getting fire hosed in Birmingham, Alabama. Next slide. I'm seeing blacks getting assaulted in Selma, Alabama. And so, you know, these images are coming every day. It's a tumultuous time. Next slide. And then the Vietnam War is going on at the same time and all that, and that was affecting and the discussions about it. And even back home in Milwaukee, next slide. Who knows who that's a picture of? You can't see it that well. So Father Grappi. So in Milwaukee, we're having the Civil Rights Movement really touch home, and he's leading the Fair Housing Marches, and there's the riots going on, and I'm a teenager at this point. And so the point of all that was that somehow I knew I needed to be involved with social, changing the world kind of stuff. And so I tried different things. And so I majored in history in college because I wanted to understand how things changed and thought about teaching, but that never panned out. I started to get involved a little bit in electoral politics. And for me, you go out, you help a candidate, they win, they lose. But what's really changed? I got involved with nonprofit boards, some really good organizations. And those of you that know board life know that you might not feel that you're really changing the world all that much, even though the organizations are good. For me, I didn't feel like that. And then I got involved with charity work. I was a member of a synagogue, different synagogues, and you go down to the, you know, the food pantry, St. Vincent de Paul, we heard the quote, and you serve the meal and it feels good, but I still didn't have that feeling like something was going to be different. And then I got a call about 5 years ago from a guy that said, hey, I got your name from someone. I'm starting a new organization in town. It's going to approach social justice in a new way. Can I come over and talk to you? I said, sure. And he talked about this organization called the Industrial Areas Foundation. And he talked about the 5,000 homes in New York City in East Brooklyn that they built. It talked about a living wage campaign in Baltimore for custodians that couldn't earn enough to feed their families. And he talked about a workforce development effort in San Antonio that was helping the chronically unemployed. And I thought, this organization makes sense. And I went to a meeting, and they actually started on time and ended on time, which was amazing. And they were accountable, and they were results-driven, and they have a process. And so I got involved and had the opportunity 7 months ago to come on board as an organizer for Common Ground. So through my 8 months, I've talked to a lot of people. I've talked to some of you, and I've talked about the work that churches are doing and some of the things they're not doing. And these ideas of charity and justice come up. Next slide. So I want to ask you, when you think about the word charity, what other words come to mind? Giving. What? I'm sorry.
Money.
Money. Good. Gus?
That's right.
A money. Anything else? Yes. So, oh, condescending. Looking down a little bit. Okay.
Helping.
Helping. Good.
Sacrifice.
Compassion. Love. Mm-hmm. Now, Gus, can you get me the water that's right behind there on the floor? What about the word justice? What comes to mind with that? What?
Fairness.
Equality. Equality. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to repeat that?
If we had justice,
okay. If we had justice, we wouldn't need charity. Any other words? Ethics. Yeah.
Empowerment.
Good. I think I'm done. Well, I want to just share a little story. Another story. I went as part of my travels since I've been an organizer. I went to a Catholic parish and met with a pastoral associate that oversees the human concerns. That's what the Catholics call it, not social action, human concerns. So we're talking about the work that they do. And she was telling me about the work that at St. Ben's, the St. Ben's meal program. It's been around forever. And she was talking about the groups that she takes down there, and she's been doing it for a really long time. And I said to her, because part of my job is to agitate and to try to get people to think about things in maybe a new way. So I said to her, do you ever feel a little frustrated that the lines get longer or that you see the same people there? And she said to me something amazing. She said, I never have any expectation of changing anything when I do this work. That's what I said. I said, well, I didn't say wow. I was a little stunned, but it was really honest. And so so then I was thinking about some of the work that Common Ground has done. Next slide. So you can't see it really well, but Common Ground's been involved in a number of things, one of which a major neighborhood revitalization effort in Sherman Park, which is the near west side of Milwaukee, kind of a fragile area. And one of the things that we did was started to tackle these homes that were dilapidated. There's about four or five congregations that are near and in Sherman Park that are members of Common Ground, and they started some neighborhood walks, and they discovered all these boarded up homes. Turns out they were foreclosed homes, and we said, well, this is wrong, because they're falling apart, the neighborhood's falling apart, there's squatters in there, there's drug houses, what are we going to do about it? So we decided to take the banks on. And so you can see this little sign we put up. You can't see it that well, but yeah. So it said this. We put up signs. We did a neighborhood walk and put up signs. Thank you. And that house is owned by Deutsche Bank. So Deutsche Bank. You've been to a branch office with Deutsche Bank? So it was a result of this, the whole housing crisis and the mortgages that were wrapped up into investments and then sold, and Deutsche Bank ended up owning a lot of houses in Sherman Park, and they weren't taking care of them. And so we said, you know, this is really wrong. And the short story is, we spent a year of research and another year of trying to force the banks to deal with the problem and provide some funds so that we could rebuild the neighborhood. And that took everything from going to shareholders meetings in Frankfurt, Germany, and San Francisco, where Wells Fargo is. It took putting 1,200 people in the Harley Museum to talk about this issue and bring bank representatives there. A lot of different things. But eventually, we were successful in getting the banks, five major banks, to put together $33 million in low interest loans and grants to rebuild the neighborhood. We're rebuilding 100 homes in 4 years. There's neighborhood programs. We're working with St. Joe's Hospital and Sherman Park Neighborhood Association. So it's been quite good. And next slide. At our assembly last April, some of you were there. We had 1,300 people at the Italian Community Center. We brought the bank representatives up on stage, and we gave them an award for being a partner. And the story was from adversary to ally, and it really kind of typifies the way we work. We're not anti-bank, we're not anti-business. We want to get results done, and we want to hold people accountable. And so in thinking about this kind of work and thinking about St. Ben's, it seems like I needed to form a framework, next slide, about justice and charity. And I don't know if all you can see it back there, but there seems like there's different characteristics. So the first one is, who benefits? With charity, it's usually individuals. You're serving someone that's hungry. With justice work, it's large groups, like Sherman Park or our healthcare cooperative that we've started. The issue for charity is acute. I'm hungry. I need clothes. And it's simple. With justice work, it's chronic and it's systematic. You're dealing with housing, you're dealing with healthcare, you're dealing with education. Relationships. Usually with charity, you're working for, providing something to, providing a service to. Again, not being judgmental here, sometimes you've got to stop the bleeding. With justice work, you're often working with or in conjunction with. Next slide. The effort, for charity, it's limited and episodic, right? You go down to St. Ben's, you come home once a week, once a month. With justice work, it's broad. You're doing everything. You're doing PR, you're doing negotiations, you're doing whatever it takes, and it's constant. We've been in Sherman Park for 4 years working on that. The solution is for charity work is usually simple, and it's not threatening. Again, you're going to St. Ben's, you're providing food. With justice work, it's complex and there's tension because you're trying to change established systems in society. And finally, the impact is immediate, and that's one thing very nice about charity work. You actually see a benefit right away, but it's confined. And with justice, it's long-term and comprehensive. So I want to ask you, think about some of the social action work you guys do here. What are some of those things? Just name them. Food pantry donation, okay? What else? Okay, international giving, yes. Hope Center, quite an organization in Waukesha. At the Hope Center? Right. Clothing. They have a clothing service there. Yep. Habitat. Okay. Okay. Safe Passage. And so when you think about that, next slide. I put all those characteristics together. When you think about your work that you just talked about here, is it kind of on the charity side or the justice side? Charity? A little bit of both, right? Not just charity, but there is some justice stuff. And I think the question, and I'll raise it a little bit later, is that okay? Are you happy with where you're at? Again, I'll come back to that. But the next thing I wanted to do is talk about what do religious traditions tell us about charity and justice? Next slide. Back to the matzah. So the story of Moses, right? And so he gets kicked out of Egypt, or he leaves because he was in the helping the slaves, and he attacked a Egyptian soldier or something. He thought he better get out of town, which he did. But then he was directed back by God, right, to go back to Egypt. He didn't want to go. God said, you got to go. And so he went. But what did God ask him to do? God did not ask him to go back and give the Hebrew slaves food or to repair their wounds or to quench their thirst. He went back. God told him, you go back and you go to Pharaoh and you negotiate with Pharaoh to let my people go. And so reluctantly he did. And it took him a lot of effort. I mean, he went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said yes, then Pharaoh reneged. That happened 10 times. And during the Passover service, if some of you remember, there's the 10 plagues. And how we represent that, we take our finger and we dip it in the wine and we dip it on our plate, each time a plague. So this was messy, tough stuff that Moses was involved with in Egypt. And it was hard, and it was justice work. Next slide. So how many of you have heard of a guy named Jim Wallace? So he's what I would call, and I didn't know these existed, but he's an evangelical progressive. He's got an organization called Sojourners, and he promotes a progressive side of evangelical Christianity. And it's impressive stuff. And he talks about building on charity. And he recognizes that the church, being a Christian, is really being the conscience of the state and the conscience of the market. And he feels like Christians need to be active in charity and justice. So he has this construct here where charity is represented by, and someone used the word compassion before, delivering charity for others, showing compassion. But he also feels that you can build on that, and you can build on that by being an advocate. And being an advocate means that you're speaking for someone to those who have power and trying to convince them to do something else. And he feels like the final step, or the next step up, is community. And community is about creating justice in the right relationships with the people that you're trying to help. Not for, but with. So it's this continuum. Now, I was thinking about this and thinking about, well, what does that really mean in the real world? And I know that you guys have just developed a relationship with Family Promise, which is an amazing organization. I know the director in Washington County pretty well. And I was wondering about how would that look in this framework. And so with compassion, that's what Family Promise is. They're delivering services to these people. I mean, these are people at the end of the road, right? No place to go, families. So advocacy could be that eventually, and I know that the director up in Washington County is starting to do this, she is trying to advocate for how are we going to get a home, a regular home for these people, a transitional home, not just living in churches from week to week, or when they get out, some place to go. But then community might be actually working with these same people to building a program with them. Maybe it is better mental health services. Maybe it's actually building or constructing a center for them. So it's an interesting framework that that you can use here. And I thought coming from a evangelical Christian was even more interesting. Next slide. So then you come to the UUs. How many times is justice mentioned in your seven principles? No looking back. How many times? Any guess? The word justice. Once, twice, any other guesses? Well, it is actually twice. The word appears twice, so the prize goes to Dave. But actually, yes, go ahead. Well, good point. It applies to all of them. And actually, they talk about using democracy within the church and promoting it in the community. So that's definitely a third, but it does apply across. So justice is very important. And when you look at the framework of justice efforts as the Unitarian Universalist Association, they define these five areas. Service, that's really the charity work we've been talking about. But then there's these others. There's education and organizing and advocacy and witness, which is, as I understand it, the use of media to promote an idea or to change. And so there's various justice efforts. And then the way we define it, Common Ground, next slide, we have this thing called the organizing cycle. And if you leave off the service one, I think those others from the UUA really fit in. So we start with listening, as I've been doing for 7 months, and then you identify problems, and you do research, and then you act on them, like the Milwaukee Rising effort, and then you evaluate. So this idea of justice being a combination of the things that the UUs suggest, I thought it was interesting, and obviously a lot of overlaps. Next slide. So when you think about, and we just talked on this before, when you think about the work that LCUUC does, where on the continuum are you? Are you halfway? More on the charity side? More on the justice side? More on the charity side. And you know what? That could be okay. I think the real issue, and next slide, is some key questions that you need to ask. What's the nature of your social justice work? If it's more on charity, are you okay with that? Does that answer your call individually? Does it answer the call of what this church is all about? What impact do you really want to have? Do you want to have an immediate impact, thinking back to those characteristics? Or you want to have broad systemic impact? And then to think about what could be different. Next slide. So what does this all mean for Common Ground and your role, Lake Country's role in it? Well, I have a vision, and the reason why I took this job 8 months ago now is that I believe that that people joining together can really make things different. And you can really, through building relationships, you can really generate a lot of power to represent citizens, to give citizens a voice for change that government doesn't provide necessarily or the market doesn't provide. And through my talk over the past 7 months or so, there are real issues out here. As you guys know that. I mean, they're seniors. If you don't have a car, you try living in the suburbs without a car. You can't get to the doctor, or it's hard. You can't get to a grocery store. Workers trying to get employees moving from place to place. If you want to get from Heartland to Waukesha or vice versa, and you don't have a car. So what's public transportation all about here? How about housing and affordable housing and workforce housing? When I first met Barbara Howell, she told me a story about the restaurateur, Joe Bartolotta, I think you told me this, who said that he's not going to build a restaurant west of Calhoun Road because they can't get workers out here. So if you can't get a ride out here and you can't afford housing, how does that work? I've heard stories about youth and addiction to prescription drugs. And concerns, although budget cuts haven't hit the schools too hard out here, people are concerned about that because we've seen it happening in other places. I've heard concerns about small businesses not being able to provide health insurance and lack of access to capital. So I don't know the answers to any of these yet, although I do know the health insurance one through our co-op. But I don't know the answers to these, but I know that there's a way to figure it out and to take a problem to an issue and be successful, building relationships and building the power that those generate. And I look forward to continuing to work with you guys. And as you think about that justice, charity justice continuum, I think we're going to have a little session right after this service where we can continue that discussion a little bit and see how you feel and what it means. So that's what I have today. Thanks so much for the opportunity. Next slide.
Our collection today is going towards Common Ground, so if you have loose cash or other undesignated funds, those will go to Common Ground. If you would like to give directly to them in check or anything like that, please write what part of your donation or all of it to go to Common Ground, or mark it on the envelopes that are in the pews. The church is a community of ourselves. Its energy and resources are our energy and resources. Its wealth is what we share. As we contribute to the life of this community, we affirm our lives with it, within it. The gifts of the congregation will now be gratefully received. Thank you, Tammy. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, number 168, One More Step.
Thank you.
Please be seated. As Rusty indicates, there will be time after the service to discuss further charity and justice in room one. Grab a beverage out of the social hall, probably about 10 minutes after this. Those who are interested can join him in that room and carry on the discussion. The final words are, when you give, let it be with your whole heart, with your eyes open. Let us not forget that the world can be changed, that it does change, and that our intentionality and actions can lead us toward a world where, as Chinua Achebe said, charity will have become unnecessary.